Well, good morning to you again. Can you hear me? Is that on? Amen. My ears must have been plugged up. It didn't sound like it was on. Before we get started this morning, if you don't mind, I think I'd like to pray for the Garrett boy. And I don't know about you, but if that was my son, I'd sure be wanting your prayers. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we do love you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we're able to come to your throne and raise our petitions before you. And Father, we want to raise up this Garrett boy this morning. Father, we just pray, Father, that wherever he is, Lord, that you'll put your arms around him and keep him safe. Bring him back safe home. We love you and praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Ryan, how old is this young man, Cannon? Early 20s. Okay, well, there could be a lot going on there then, so. But still, let's just be in prayer for him. Pray for him like he was your son, amen? All right, James, chapter 4. We'll probably finish up chapter 4 today, if you don't get me too far off track. And then we may even get into chapter 5 and knock most of that out. We'll see how it goes this morning. I believe we stopped at about verse 12, so we'll pick it up there about verse 12. And also, do be in prayer for Dr. Carter. Folks, if you've never had back problems, it causes everything else to give you problems, and it's so painful. You just can't hardly function sometimes, and it gets worse. It doesn't get better. It just continues to get worse until they find a way to relieve some of the pressure. And I've dealt with that off and on all my life, and it's very painful. So do be in prayer for Pastor Carter. All right, verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? We spoke a little bit about that last week. But it's very important. I know sometimes when we're reading through our Bibles, we read a verse like that, and it really doesn't jump out at us. You know, it doesn't mean a whole lot to you when you read that. But there's a lot being said right there. When you think about that, who art thou that judges another? And it's not just a matter of judging, because that's the way we perceive it when we read it. And it's not, and it is wrong to judge your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, you know, sin is sin. You know, we don't have to be ignorant about it. But at the same time, it's wrong for us to be pointing fingers. But it goes much deeper than that. If you think about what it's actually saying, think about what you're doing when you're judging somebody. If you go back to the very first part of the verse, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? What James is saying right here, God is the one that does the judging. So if we decide that we're going to judge somebody, what do we just do? Do we not just put ourselves in God's place? Because that's what James is saying. Folks, that's why it's so important. That's why we was talking about the Christian police. We don't need to go there. And it goes so much deeper even. When think about the mindset that we have the gall to claim that we're God and we have a right to judge one another. Folks, just because something doesn't suit you doesn't make it wrong. And if it is wrong, it's still none of your business. It's between that person and God. You know, you let the Holy Spirit do the dealing. We don't need to be policing one another. I said that last week. But it's just the mindset that we have. You know, kind of hate to open this bag of worms, but convictions. You know, you may have a conviction that you're convicted about something, and you'll say, well, I don't have a conviction about that, so that doesn't bother me. Well, you know, the bad thing about that is the Bible's right in all that it teaches. Whether you're convicted about it or not doesn't matter. You may not be convicted on a particular thing, but that doesn't change the fact as whether or not it's right or wrong. So we need to keep that in mind that when we starting to judge one another. Don't set ourselves up as gods, because that's what we're doing. We go to verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, with everything that we've been studying up through chapter 4, if you're truly studying and putting a little bit of time into it, and we start to get self out of the way, and we start to bring God in, bring him forth to where he needs to be, then we should be getting closer to God, shouldn't we? Our faith should be becoming stronger, because that's what James is trying to do. James is trying to show us that without God, we're nothing. And everything that we are is what is inside of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be gaining a little more faith as we move on. So what he's saying here, today or tomorrow, we go into such a city and continue therein a year, buy and sell and get gain. What he's trying to tell us is we shouldn't have the mindset that we ourselves, I'm going to say, well, I'm going in there tomorrow, I'm going to do so and so and so and so and so and so. Because our mindset should be the next verse. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings. God does. So our mindset should always be, if God will. See, so many times, and think about how arrogant it is to think that we're going to set up our day tomorrow and we leave God out of it. Because that's what so many of us do. We're going to make our plans for the week or make our plan, even for a vacation or whatever the case may be. And the last thing on the list is God, and his name should be at the top of the list. Because everything that we do should be according to the will of God. So how arrogant have we become that we've just left God out of everything? And we say that we don't do that, some of us that say that. But just look around us. Look at our schools. Look where our schools are. Look where our nation is. If we as Christians have been holding to the mindset that James is teaching here, our nation wouldn't be in the situation that it's in. Now today, people are slowly leaving the church. Little by little, they're dying off. Our children are going separate ways because we as Christians have not held to what James is teaching us. Everything that I do today, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, next month, and the next year depends on what God says. I can't do anything tomorrow unless God wills it. You know, when you get up in the morning and go to work, you're not leaving the house if God don't allow you to. Your heart can't beat the next beat without God's permission. And sometimes we forget that. Look at everything in just these couple of verses. He's pointing out to us that we're setting ourselves up to be little gods. We have all the say-so, and we're leaving God out of the equation. Because that's what we're doing, and that's where he points out what ye ought to be doing, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. Folks, you go back in the Bible, I believe Noah lived, what, about 120 years, I think it was? Or is it 200 years Noah lived? And then we've got, I mean, a lot of folks in the Bible lived a long time, but it doesn't matter whether it was 120 years or 400 years. You can look at anybody in here that's 90 years old or 50 years old, and they'll all tell you the same thing. Yesterday, I was a little boy or a little girl. I mean, it goes by just like that. It's gone so fast. Folks, we need to be conscious of what we're doing and saying sometimes. We live so much of our life just going about our way, like the grasshopper, right? Just having fun throughout the day. We need to be more like the ant, right? Storing up, working up. But our mindset needs to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we do. We need to enjoy our time today. For tomorrow might not be here. Now, we can claim that we're going to do something tomorrow, but tomorrow may never come for us. We should be enjoying our family, our children. I know so many folks that are distant from their children because they're upset for one reason or another. It's so sad because tomorrow you may not be here. We're going to get it straightened out tomorrow, but tomorrow might not come. Today is the day you need to get it straightened out. Today, not tomorrow. So we need, and folks, we just need to keep that mind frame, that set. We could look at verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such boastings or rejoicing is evil. What James is saying to us there, that what, when they went into that town and they said that what we're going to do is we're going to stay here a year and we're going to gain, basically they're running the business and they're going to make money. But they didn't put God in that plan. They're boasting on self, what I am going to do. He says right here, it's all evil. We do the same thing. If we get up in the morning, whatever our day may be, if we've left God out of our day, then we're doing the same thing as he's doing right here. We're boasting about what we think we're going to do. Folks, that's why it's so important. You hear the preacher talk about it all the time. You need to start your day off. We have devotionals back there. You need to start your day off with God. That should be every day of your life. And there's a purpose for that. Folks, it gets you on the right track. First of all, it helps get the mindset where it needs to be. We're in a spiritual battle 24/7. Folks, it's not an easy world out here. How can we go out and face the day when we're not even prepared to face it? Spiritually, we're dying anymore. As Christians, we're not feeding our bodies spiritually. Think about it. When you eat three times a day, some of you four or five, right? We feed our bodies because we need the strength. Well, don't you ever think about our spiritual bodies? We need to feed our spiritual bodies the same as we do our physical bodies. And if we would take care of our spiritual bodies, our physical bodies would be much better off if we had that right mindset. And we can't get into that mindset if we don't read and study our Bibles. And folks, I'm sorry, but we're not getting it done as Christians. I'm talking to the cream of the crop right here. I understand that. But even us, how many times do we say that we're going to do something tomorrow with no thought of God being in the middle of that? Now, I'm not saying that every time we say something, we have to say if it be God's will. We don't have to say it, but it needs to be in our heart. It needs to be in our minds. Everything that we do every day should be focused around what God allows us to do. And we should give him praise, honor, and glory for everything that we do. All the gain that we have comes from God. Everything that we have. And I think I said something last week about if somebody needed a sandwich, I'd be glad to give them one. I'll let you know right now, I wasn't bragging or boasting on me. I'm bragging on God. God has put me in a situation where I can afford to give somebody a sandwich. And I thank God for that. Because I remember the day when I couldn't afford to eat a sandwich. That's the truth. I mean, we went for months one time eating pancakes and chicken that we got on sale for less than $1 a pound somewhere. Hey, we all have struggles, don't we? But when God blesses us, I feel like we ought to spread that around a little bit and bless others around us. Amen? Verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, what's he talking about right here? Now, we know when we think about sin, we think about the Big Ten, don't we? We think about the Ten Commandments. God tells us what not to do, and if we do that, we know it's sin. But for an example there, to tell a lie would be a sin, right? Well, how about to know the truth and not tell it? Would that be a sin? It's the same thing, isn't it? To know the truth and not tell it. Just because you didn't tell a lie, you still didn't tell the truth. And that pertains to all aspects of our lives. So to know something and not do it, it is sin. To know to do right and not do it, it is sin. So that's going to move us into chapter 5. Verse 1 says, go to now, ye rich man, weep, howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. This is the second time that James in the book has mentioned the rich man. The first time was in chapter 1. I believe it was right about verse 10 where he addressed the rich. And right here in this statement, he's basically warning them of the destruction that's going to be coming upon them. And I want you to understand something. He's not saying it's wrong to be rich, because it's not wrong to be rich. You can be blessed by God, and there's not a thing in the world wrong with that. But what he's talking about is the rich, that they're so rich they don't depend on God at all. They don't want anything to do with God. How many people today are just filthy rich, but they have no time for God? You know, I don't know how many of you have ever seen the program Little House on the Prairie. Most of y'all ever seen that? You ever noticed that most everything always ends up pointing to God, where they need to be praying for what they need? Food, even just to eat. Just to eat. They can't do it without God's help. Everything is a continuous battle. Isn't that the same way in our lives today? We might not be farmers, but we still need God's help, don't we? Well, see, the rich man, they've got so much that they don't think they need God. And today what's happening in our societies with all the welfare, and I hope I don't hurt your feelings, because I'm against it. I'm against welfare. I don't agree with it at all. And I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but what does it truly do? You're taking from one, you're robbing one and giving to another, and in most cases it's because they refuse to get it for themselves. But it also becomes, the government has become their God, hasn't they? So I remember growing up that when we needed something as a family, you know, you would have to pray to God to get it. We wasn't even a Christian family when I was growing up, little. But they would still pray to God and ask for things. They knew enough to know that it came from God. But today, so many folks, even what I consider not to be rich, they are so well off as far as living in today's society. They have everything that they need, so they no longer go to God. Well, James is talking about the filthy rich right here. He's talking about those that are saving up everything for today, everything for right now, and nothing for tomorrow in the future. And what I mean by that is when everything comes to an end and we're headed towards heaven, what have you got stored up there? There's so many of us today, we spend so much time trying to store up things. And there's nothing wrong with having things stored up here. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to be sending treasures ahead, don't we? We need to be going ahead. Let me read a couple of verses to you. In Job 13:28, "And he as a rotten thing consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten." Matthew 6:20, "But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and the thieves do not break through nor steal." So let me read this verse 2. "Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten." Folks, think about that right there. And what he's trying to tell us, if Christ comes a year from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, whatever, we don't know for sure what currency is going to be doing. Does it really matter what we save, whether it be gold or silver? Does it matter what we put back? Because we don't know what's going to be usable. And I don't know about you, but I'm not planning on being here when the rapture takes place. I'm planning on being gone. So anything that I've saved up at that point is going to somebody else anyways. The liberals can have it, amen, because that's where it's going to. So don't you think maybe James is trying to point out to the rich man here that everything that you've saved, all the money that you've gained, is worthless? It's not worth a plug nickel because you can't do anything with it. And if you read over in the book of Revelations, you'll find out you're not going to be able to buy and sell and trade anyway without the mark of the beast. You know, you're going to trade your soul for a little bit of chicken? You know what I'm saying? So that's what he's pointing out here. He's not saying that it's wrong to be wealthy, because there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. In verse 3, "Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and that shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days." Right there it is, the last days. Folks, it's not going to do you any good there. But you know something, you can put it to use today, and it's going to do you some good when you get to heaven. Verse 4, "Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of you kept back by fraud, crieth and cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Folks, what he's saying right here, he's talking about the rich man that's robbed the poor man. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. You know, labor is worth his hire, amen? But what he's talking about here is the rich man holding back from those that's laboring. And I know today, you know, some of the laws and whatnot we've got, it might not be as bad as it was back in the day, but it still happens. It still happens. There's companies right now making millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they can't get enough. They got to have more, got to have more. And their help's barely getting by. You know, that's not right. And that's what he's warning them about. Folks, we're to love one another. You know, and if we have the right mindset and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, then we should be willing to pay those that are working for us. And that doesn't mean to throw them a little something to nibble on. We should be paying them. And for the most part, a lot of people pay very well to their employees, you know, considering the times and what they're doing. But that's what it's talking about right there, folks. We need to watch how we go about our business. We need to conduct our businesses as such. Verse 5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Now we know the day of slaughter, that's when you kill the fatted calf, amen? Everybody eats good that day, right? Well, he's talking about the rich man, he's lived his life that way. He's eating very well, he's doing quite well. And then how about the helpers? Reminds me of the story over in Luke. I think it's Luke 16, talking about the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus. Reminds me of that. Where's the rich man at now? The rich man's in hell, isn't he? Didn't do all that money, didn't do him a bit of good. And Lazarus was living sumptuously. That money can be a sin curse to you. It can pull you down. It'll mess around and just send you right to hell rather than doing good for you. And robbing our folks is not helping us. Jeremiah 22:13. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that uses his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. In Deuteronomy 24:15, at his day that shall give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. So God is warning him. There's going to be a price to pay. Let's look at verse 6. Ye have commanded and killed the just, and he does not resist you. If you think about that, it's kind of hard for the poor man to resist the rich man in. They've got money to fight you with. They got all the lawyers. They got everything built up. So what's the poor man going to do? Nothing. There's nothing we can do. Just struggle along every day. Be patient, therefore, brother, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. I think that's where we're at today. I think we're right there at the doorstep of the coming of the Lord. So all the things that we've been through in this life and all the struggles and all the fightings, life can be hard, can't it? But it can also be good. And we also know that we have the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's where our focus needs to be. Not on the money, not on the good or the bad, everything that goes on here on this earth, but our focus needs to be on our coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll keep our focus right there, we'll all be much, much better off. It's hard to, especially when we're talking about the business world, being rich and being poor, there's so much that's involved, and you don't really want to step on anybody's toes the wrong way because like I said before, there's nothing wrong with being rich. But folks, we just do need to share what God has given to us. It's my heart goes out to people who's struggling today. I see young couples who just got married, They're working a job. And it you know, nowadays, they'll pay you $15, $20 an hour. But it's not worth anything, is it? It's not worth a thing. And they're trying to buy a home. And if you look at the prices of homes today, a home that used to cost $100,000, we used to think was a high-priced home. Well, today it's like $300,000 to $500,000. Well, these youngins that we have out here in the world are facing that today. They're facing these struggles. And yet, the rich man is getting richer and richer and richer, and we just continue to get poorer and poorer. Folks, the only hope we have in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our hope lies. That's where all the trouble is going to be taken care of, is in Christ Jesus. So whether you're rich or poor, if you're rich, enjoy what God has given you, but share the wealth. Don't try to keep it all here bottled up on earth, because you're not going to keep it. If the rapture takes place today, you're out of here, and everything that you've got is going to stay. So you're going to leave it all behind for the liberals. So you need to go ahead and enjoy what God has given you. Enjoy it and share it with your family and friends. Share it with your employees. Share it with your workers. Verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Boy, that's never meant more than it means today. We're another day closer. I turned right before I left the house there. I turned the news on for just a moment, and I saw where a man, I didn't catch the state, it was up north. A man was street preaching, pastor of a church. They said he normally does not go street preaching, but he went street preaching the other day, and he was shot in the head and killed. Folks, there's just so much animosity and hatred building, not just towards the Jews, but also towards the Christians. And if you're a supporter of the Jews, that animosity and hatred is growing towards you. And as the day draws nigh, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And folks, we just need to continue to stand and pray for one another. This is the time that we need to focus on some of the things that James has given us. We need to get our lives right with Christ as Christians. And everything that we've gone through in the book of James, it's not to hurt us. It's not to make us feel bad. It's to lift us up. It's to show us, look, this is where we need to be living our lives. As Christians, this is how we need to be living. This is the way we need to be acting. And that's what James is trying to do. He is trying to make us better Christians. And better Christians make what? Better servants, don't we? In all aspects of our life. James has covered pretty much everything from being saved, being poor, being wealthy, being sick, everything from humility. He's pretty much covered everything that we need to know as Christians to live a good, clean Christian life. Now, it is up to you and I to apply all that he has given us. We have to apply that to our lives. Now, we can come in here and we can sit and we can listen and we can read through the book, and then we can just go home at lunchtime about our merry ways and forget everything that's been said. And then we'll end up next week just like we were the week before. But in order for us to grow as Christians and mature, you know, we're not supposed to be drinking milk all of our lives as baby Christians. We're supposed to continue to grow in God's word. And the world is doing everything it can to stop you from growing in Christ. Think about it. When you turn your television on, just look at the broadcasting that is on your television set. Look at what it's designed for. If you'll pay attention to what's being programmed into your brain, you'll see what they're trying to do. They may not even realize it. But the devil knows what he's doing. But everything that's on that television set is programmed to get you away from God. Everything that you turn on there, most of your radio nowadays is programmed to get you away from God. Even so-called Christian radio and the ministries that are being played around the globe, not on our station, but other stations, they're not about Jesus Christ. They'll pretend to be. But it's about getting the money out of your bank account into their bank account. That's where some of that rich man comes in, doesn't it? I mean, I can sit here and name names of huge churches that are rolling in millions and millions of dollars. But what are they doing with it? They're storing it up right here on this earth. That's James is warning about that right here. That's not what God gives it. When it comes in this door right here, it comes through this offering plate, it's used. And it's used well, and it's used for God's glory. It's running bus routes. It's going to the mission fields. It's going somewhere to glorify our God. It doesn't go in the pockets of the people who work here. Do they get paid? Sure, they get paid, but I promise you, they're not overpaid. You know, they're not driving around in limousines and taking private airplanes back and forth across town. When you're raking in millions of dollars, but that money is not going out to save souls. Because everything that goes on here, one way or another, everything that happens here is for one purpose. That is to lead the lost to Christ. And those that are saved, to lead them to live better lives for Christ. That is everything that we do here. Whether it's Sunday morning, it's Wednesday, Sunday night, doesn't matter. Everything is for that sole purpose. And every dollar that comes through these offering plates, that's what it's used for. So when it's talking about the rich man, now, you know, we're not just talking about the rich businessman in the sense that somebody owns a construction company or whatever it may be. A lot of these churches fall in that same category because that money is not being used for the sole purpose of leading souls to Christ. They're nothing but a bunch of thieves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're stealing God's money from people who truly love God. But they don't study their Bibles. So they don't know true doctrine. They don't know the difference between this church and this so-called church. They don't even know that this church over here doesn't qualify to be a church. They don't know that. Why? Because they don't study their Bible. They don't know God's doctrine. And isn't that what James has been trying to teach us here through five chapters? Everything James is trying to teach us is to keep us on the straight and narrow. We should know in our hearts, and we apply all that we learn and that what we study, and we will apply that to our lives. We will be better Christians. We'll be stronger in our faith towards God. And the stronger our faith, the better Christians we become. But if we will study and apply that to our lives, we become better Christians. We're not going to be conned, and we're not going to be fooled by these deceivers that's just out to get a checkbook from you. Because that's all they're after is your money. Sure, they'll smile and pat you on the back and tell you they love you. They'll do all that to get your checkbook. But you should be wise enough. You should train yourself and teach yourself in God's word well enough that you know the difference. And sadly, you understand that most churches today don't even preach or teach the gospel. I led a woman to the Lord a while back that had been in church all of her life and had never heard that she needed to be saved to go to heaven. Never knew that she needed to trust and give her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what kind of a church was that? But folks, that's the day and time that we live in. So when we study through the book of James, it's not just something that we're doing on Sunday mornings. We're using this to apply it to our lives. When Pastor comes back and he gets back on the book of John, everything that he's teaching is for us to apply it to our lives. We learn it and we learn by it. Just like a child, you take a child growing up at home, he starts off brain dead, right? We got to raise them up and guide and direct and teach them. Well, that's the way we are in Christ. Let me tell you something. It does not matter how much education you've got. You can have 14 college degrees. And when you first get saved, you're just as brain dead as somebody that's never read anything. Because you don't know what God's laws tells you. You don't know the doctrines of Christ. That's why when we turn your television on and you see the news and what's going on in the White House, those people, think about it. They are educated. They're educated people. But look at the decisions that they're making. They're ludicrous, aren't they? But that's because they don't understand the doctrine of God. They don't understand God's word. They haven't read the right book. And I promise you, most of them go to church of some type somewhere. Sadly, most of them go to a church that I've seen on the news today also, where they arrested a man for trafficking children. Yeah, that's the kind of church they go to because they don't study their Bible. They don't read their Bible. They don't know what's wrong and right according to what God gives us. I have to stop there because I am out of time.
Thank you, my brother.
798. Well, we're down just a little bit from last week, but that's still pretty good for Thanksgiving week. All right, well, we'll take about a 10-minute break and come back for the preaching service.